Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of the parable of the sower is actually found in Luke's gospel after the parable of the sower is finished. In the light of our gospel reading today, Jesus goes on to say, "No one, when he has lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." So we don't have light for no good reason at all. "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, nor is there anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." Now listen to this. "Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." And that is why Jesus told the parable of the sower. Be careful how you hear. All right? "To him who has, more will be given. But to him who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him." So don't waste God's given opportunity for you to hear and to profit by the word of the living God. So Jesus tells a parable, and very quickly, a sower went out to sow, a farmer going out to sow his seed. But this farmer does things that a normal farmer wouldn't do. A normal farmer is very careful not to waste seed. He puts it only on the ground he sees as good. This farmer is throwing it everywhere. He's throwing it on the pathway indiscriminately. He must have been to Seeds R Us, because he's got loads of seed to waste. And so he's throwing it on the pathway. He's throwing it in the rocky soil with all kinds of junk in the soil. He's throwing it among thorns. And finally, he throws it on the good ground. So when he throws it on the pathway, it was trodden underfoot, and the birds came and ate it. And when he sowed upon the rocky ground, it soon sprang up, but it quickly withered away because it had no moisture. And the third fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And finally, some fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit 100-fold. Jesus ends this parable to the masses of people. He ends it by saying to them, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." In other words, he is warning once again of the danger of not taking God's word seriously and not hearing the word of God properly and profitably. Don't waste every opportunity that you have to hear God's word. If you have an ear to hear, then listen. His disciples came to him later, and they said, "What might this parable be?" All right, they want to know, what are you driving at here? And Jesus gives an interesting answer. Notice how Jesus answers this question, and it goes right along with, "Be careful how you hear. For to whom it is given, he shall have more. But to whom who doesn't have, even what he seems to have will be taken away." How easy it is to lose faith, and how easy it is to miss faith altogether. All right, so be careful how you hear. So Jesus says to his 12 disciples, he says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He says, you who believe in me, you who follow me, it's given to you to know and understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. What's a mystery in the Bible? When you hear that word mystery, it confuses us modern people because it sounds kind of funny. Mystery is something that you cannot know unless God reveals it to you. The gospel is a mystery as far as human reason is concerned. Worldly, unbelieving people think that the gospel is foolishness, or they think that the gospel is offensive. All you got to do is tell the old story of Jesus and his love, and you will have no shortage of people either thinking you're an idiot or being mad at you, right? Because that's the way human reason deals with the gospel. The gospel is a mystery. It can only be understood by divine revelation. The gospel is divine revelation. It is received in faith. So he says to his disciples, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, to all the rest of these people, I speak in parables. Why? That seeing they may see and not see. All right? So he says there is a judging purpose in the parables, right? That the parables hide as much as they reveal. All right? When it is not given to people, then it is taken away from people. And so he says, seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. So he says to those who are in the kingdom of God by faith, he says, to you it is given to know the mysteries. But to others out there in the crowd, there's all kinds of people out there in the crowd, and it is not given to all of them because they are in a state of impenitence and sinfulness. And then he explains the parable. The seed is the word of God. That means that the sower is Jesus. Jesus, during his life on this earth, he sowed the word by teaching the will of his Father. And in the church, by divine commission and authority, he has been sowing seed through the preaching and teaching of the Church of Jesus Christ in accordance with the Word of God in the Old and the New Testaments. Jesus is the one who brings his gospel to you, and Jesus is the one who gives you life everlasting, and Jesus is the one who is the sower. All right, that's important for you to grab hold of. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is the means by which the Holy Ghost gives us the grace of God and the mercy of God, purchased and won for us once and for all by Jesus Christ. But God doesn't just plop it out of heaven indiscriminately. He gives it to us by means of an instrument that we can experience. And so we have holy baptism. It is a vehicle. It is a tool, an instrument by which he gives us his grace. The gospel, they are words that land upon our ears, or if we're reading it, the words that land upon our eyes, and they sink into our hearts, and they grant us who were bad soil in ourselves to become good soil. And so the Word of God is the means by which the Lord works faith and kindles life in us. And then, of course, the sacrament of the altar, Holy Communion. It is another means by which the Word of God is placed before us with a sign so that we may be sure not only that God is gracious, but exactly how and where he gives his grace. You know, people get stuck on that. They think that, you know, God's grace is available, but, you know, how do I get in touch with it? And the simple, dumb answer is, read your Bible. Read your Bible. The Word of God. Listen to the sermon. Listen to the Bible class. Hear God's Word. That's how he works in your heart. It's not a mystery that you have to, I need to find out the secret of how to live a more full spiritual life. Open the book. Open the book. All right? This is what Jesus is saying here. So, now Jesus tells us, after he tells his disciples about why he talks in parables, he says there are four different kinds of hearers in the world. All right? The first group are the hard-hearted people who never receive the gospel. They hear the word of God, they hear it and hear it and hear it, but they never let it make an impression on them. They remain as unresponsive to the gospel. Time and time again they hear it. Time and time again, the same word with the same power that has transformed your life hits these people's eyes and ears, and they remain unfazed by it. Why? Because God's word to them wasn't powerful enough? No. Because by their own most grievous fault, they hardened their hearts against the word of God. And so they are lost, not because God's word wasn't effective enough, but because they hardened their hearts against it. So the first group of hearers in the world are made up of those who have hardened their hearts. And what happens, Jesus says, when you harden your heart against the word of God? The devil comes into your life and he takes away whatever memory you have of that word so that you will not be saved. When you harden your heart, the devil comes in, you create a playground for him, and he comes in and he enjoys himself, and he makes sure that you stay an unbeliever until you are pulled down into the lake of fire with him. That's what happens. The second group of people are they on the rock, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. Oh, they suddenly, oh, this is great. I haven't experienced anything like this before. This is really great. They hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they won't let the word take root in their souls. They will not study it. They will not take it in and let it work in them. Everything remains on the surface. Everything remains shallow. And then what always happens? After the initial enthusiasm of finding Jesus, ordinary life comes along with its snares and troubles. And the next thing you know, these enthusiastic, excited people are nowhere to be found, right? They were going to become really servants of the Lord. They were going to do something. They were going to be a blessing to the congregation. And then before long, people are going, whatever happened to that couple? You know, that one that, them. Who knows, right? These are those who fell on the rocky ground. They never let the word sink in and take root in them. And so when temptation and affliction comes, they go, this is not for me. And they suddenly are nowhere to be found. The third group are they which receive the word of God they go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. These are the Christians who, part of them wants to be faithful and believing. They want to be considered devout people, but they have their feet firmly planted in this world. They care about the things of this world. Their goal is the acquisition of the things of this world. They are addicted to the pleasures of this world. And because they are worldly, the word that they accepted and that they, to some extent, believe, this word gets choked out of them. The world, you know, St. John, in his first epistle, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're living in a day of great apostasy here in modern America. We are seeing people falling away from the faith, not because they're too smart to believe in Jesus. I don't know the circles that you move in, but it ain't because they're too intelligent to believe what we believe. It's because the world and the devil have gotten a hold of them and dragged them down from their position of gracious wonder, wonderful salvation. And they've lost it by their own most grievous fault, not by any lacking in God or God's word. And so here we have people, they want to be considered Christians. They want to be considered upright members of the community. But they are both feet stuck in the world. They love what the world loves. They want what the world wants. And they are concerned about the things that the world is concerned about. And pretty soon, gradually, over time, person goes, you know, I used to go to church and I used to believe in Jesus. I wonder when it was that I lost all that. But, isn't that something? Right? And there we have the third group of people. Right? Now, Jesus finishes by saying, they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now notice how this is worded. It's very important that you hear this. The good ground, it's not that there is anyone who by nature is better ground than anybody else. We're all born in sin. We're all born sinners into a fallen world. None of us by nature is good ground. But notice how Jesus says it. The good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. See that? He says, first you hear the word and receive it in faith. Then through that word, you are transformed from bad ground into good ground. What? How? Through the forgiveness of sins and the new life in Christ. You are born again. You go from being an unbeliever to a believer, from being a child of the devil to a child of the word of God. And this happens by means of the word of God. And so here in this text, Jesus describes people who hear the word and are converted by it so that they are born again. And now, having heard the word, having been born again by means of the word, they keep it. They hold it. They treasure it. You see? They love that word and they order their lives by it. And they bring forth fruit with patience. You know, the worldlings had no patience. The rocky soil people had no patience. The minute the heat got turned up, they forsook the Lord and forgot about him. But God's people, those to whom it is given, we have this wonderful picture here of those who, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of God, or after hearing the word of God, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is where you and I want to be, all right? This is why we're here. This is why God has established the office of the ministry and the Christian congregation. Why he has authorized that the word of God be preached and the sacraments be administered, so that we may be recipients of the gracious gifts of God in Christ. And so be careful how you hear. For whoever hath, to him shall be given. Whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Or as it says earlier in the chapter, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear the gracious word of life. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.